White, J.E. White, Emma. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. July 13, 1900. Dear children Edson and Emma, I am now almost restored to health again, after a time of suffering caused by overwork. Last night I slept for 8 hours, something I have not done for many years. I am trying to preserve my health and have had to cease my writing for a time. In guiding the children of Israel through the wilderness, the Lord often repeated his instructions, that the truth might make an abiding impression upon their minds. He gave parents special instructions to teach their children the truth, that they might gain a knowledge of him, and, under the most trying circumstances, fear and honor him as their leader, and extend the knowledge that the Lord is one God, and beside him there is none else. He desired them to remember that they could depend on him to carry them safely through. God instituted ordinances to keep him in the remembrance of the people. For the younger members of the congregation, these ordinances were to be a special safeguard and blessing. It is often hard for God's people to understand the way in which he leads them. This way is not always the way they would choose. The finite mind, looking at appearances, would say, "This is not the course of wisdom." The children of Israel did not learn readily that the Lord Jesus was their guide and protector. Often, in the face of apparently impassable barriers, the command is given to us, "Go forward." Exodus 14, verse 15. God prepares the onward path in his own way, and he expects us to follow where he directs. The 14th chapter of Exodus contains wonderful instruction. Let all who are inclined to unbelief read this chapter, and then bow low before God, saying with contrition of spirit, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy mercy is toward thy people." Psalm 77, verse 19. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and went in after them unto the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned, and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and believed the Lord, and his servant Moses. Exodus 14, verse 22-31. Oh, how wonderfully the Lord would work in behalf of his people, if they would trust in him instead of depending upon those who do not discern the way of the Lord, and refuse to follow him in all their ways. God gives all opportunity to know the truth. His word in the Scriptures is so plain and consistent, and the path of truth is so straight that no one need err. But there are many who, though impressed with the truth, will not turn from their own pleasure, but continue to disobey God, advancing error instead of truth. They dishonor God's memorial. Sin lies at the door. The blood of the souls lost because of their deceptive teaching will rest upon their heads. They will be made to feel the consequence of willful transgression. Some are thus brought to repentance. They reform, but they do not stay reformed. They do not go on from victory to victory. Why? Because their work is superficial. When their affliction was removed and their fears relieved, they became indifferent and did not maintain the battle to the very gates. They were not converted every day, but rushed on in ambitious haste into untried enterprises, disregarding the word of the Lord. These go far in backsliding. The question is often asked me, what shall we do under such and such circumstances? If you seek the Lord with full purpose of heart and decide to be a Christian in word and in deed, you will break away from reckless companions, lest you become one with them to perish with the wicked. You ask, what is my duty? Place yourself in the most favorable position to learn to study the Word of God as a diligent student. Pray with the Bible in your hands. Ask for the Holy Spirit to indict your petitions. Act as you know Christ wishes you to act. Keep His words and works ever before you. Humble your heart before Him. Strive for the mastery over the sin which so easily besets you. The Lord will give you grace to overcome. It is dangerous to set young men and young women at work among the abandoned classes. They are placed where they come in contact with every form of impurity, and Satan uses this opportunity to compass their ruin. Thus, far more is lost than these workers save. Many of the efforts made for the abandoned result in the loss of the purity of the workers. Those who are engaged in visiting houses of prostitution place themselves in terrible temptation. This work is always dangerous. It is a scheme of the devil to lead souls into temptation and lustful practices. Come out among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. The farther young men and young women keep away from the corrupted and corrupting elements in this world, the better and safer will be their future experience. Medical missionary workers should be cleansed, refined, purified, and elevated. They should stand upon the platform of eternal truth. But I have been instructed that the truth has not been made to appear in its true bearing. The result that is worked out tends to corrupt minds. The sacred is not distinguished from the common. By keeping the seventh day in accordance with the directions given in the 31st chapter of Exodus, we show to those who are united in a confederacy of transgression that we bear God's sign, that we are loyal subjects of His kingdom, that we acknowledge Him as the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Thus, the line of demarcation is plainly drawn between him that serveth God and him that serveth Him not. God's people bear a public sign that they honor Him by keeping His commandments. They are cheerful and happy in the assurance that they receive His blessing. Holiness to the Lord is the badge of God's people. The blessing of God is pronounced upon those who keep holy the day which He has set apart. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Numbers 6, verse 23 to 27. In reading Old Testament history, we see how particular the Lord was to make known His law in such a way as to impress the people. This law was of such great importance that the Lord sought in every way to make it familiar to the people. On the day when they crossed over Jordan, blessings were to be pronounced from Mount Gerizim upon the obedient, and curses from Mount Ebal upon the disobedient. After each declaration, the congregation were to assent to the specifications. As they accepted the conditions, they placed themselves under a solemn responsibility to fulfill them. God desired to deter them from transgression and encourage them in obedience. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he takes the greatest pleasure in those who turn from sin. The 33rd chapter of Ezekiel shows that God's government is a government of personal responsibility. Each one must stand for himself. No one can obey for his neighbor. No one is excused for neglecting his duty because of a similar neglect on the part of his neighbor. Upon the ministers of God rests a solemn, serious charge. They will be called to a strict account for the manner in which they have discharged their responsibility. If they do not tell the people of the binding claims of God's law, if they do not preach the word with clearness, but confuse the minds of the people by their own interpretations, they are shepherds who feed themselves, but neglect to feed the flock. They make of none effect the law of Jehovah, and souls perish because of their unfaithfulness. The blood of these souls will be upon their heads. God will call them to account for their unfaithfulness. But this will in no wise excuse those who listen to the sophistry of men, discarding the word of God. God's law is a transcript of his character, and his word is not yea and nay, but yea and amen.